It's great to be with you again today, and let's dig back into our passage in the New Testament book of Matthew. We're in chapter 17. This text describes the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And as I have said, transfigured means that Jesus Christ had a breathtaking change of appearance. The Bible says Jesus' face shone like the sun, and Jesus' garments became as white as light. Imagine that. There is a spectacular change in appearance. Christ's face was like the sun, and his clothes were as white as light. And what does this dramatic change of appearance represent? It speaks of Christ's glory. And remember why I am talking about this scene. There with Jesus are three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And we are focused on Peter and John in our series, God is Our Confidence. Their attendance at the Transfiguration and what they see with their own two eyes, what they witness, fills them with confidence, a confidence they will later rely on in their own future ministries. I have defined confidence this way: confidence is reliance on Jesus Christ. Certainly, Peter and John rely on Jesus, so let's get back to our story at verse 5. As we enter the verse, Peter is speaking, and he's offered to build tabernacles for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Just then, something extraordinary happens. God the Father speaks. I'm reading Matthew chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, and you can follow along in your own Bible if you have it with you now. While Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to Peter, James, and John and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. So when the voice of the Holy God speaks, the three disciples fall flat face down on the ground. Peter and John, along with James, are struck down, terrified. And this is exactly what happens when men and women in the Bible encounter the living God. They fall down and are terrified. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of God. Let's take the Apostle John as an example. Here in verse 6, the Bible says he fell face down and was terrified. And let's go over to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the final book of the Bible, and a book John wrote, and read about this same man John's vision of heaven. I'll read just one verse, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. At this stage in his heavenly vision, John encounters the glory of the Lord. Listen to what happened to him. This is the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1 and verse 17. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man." So whether John fell at the feet of Jesus when he heard the voice of God in Matthew 17, or whether John fell at the feet of Jesus when he saw the glory of the Lord in Revelation 1, the response is the same. And let me just insert here that this is why I find so much of our response to God, yes, as Christians, in our worship services, for example, to be so irreverent and far too casual. We are all at the mercy of God. We serve a holy, righteous, just, and perfect Lord. Yet we are often disengaged, passive, and worse, we sing many quote-unquote modern worship songs that are void of good theology. Worse, they include very bad theology. Music that makes God out to be some benevolent friend who gives me everything I want and never demands anything of me. Oh, please, do not get me started. Friends, this was not the response of the people of the Bible who encountered the living God. They're not up dancing around. They're flat on their face and listen, they are terrified. Does God terrify you? His voice filled Peter and John with pure terror. I lament and repent on behalf of so many Christians the world over who treat God with not even a small measure of fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. And so where has all the fear of the Lord gone? Why are we largely no longer fearful of Almighty God? This question deserves much thought and prayer by all of us. Okay, so now let's return to the text in Matthew 17. Watch how Jesus responds to the terror the disciples now have. Verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 17 says, "And Jesus came to Peter, James, and John, and touched them, and said, 'Get up, and do not be afraid.' And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone." Jesus does what he so often does in the Gospels when his people are afraid. He assures them, "Do not be afraid." And I love how the text here says that Jesus touched them. Can you imagine having the reassuring hand of Jesus, God's Son, touch you on the shoulder as Jesus says to you, "Do not be afraid"? I think of this so often in my own fear and trembling. It's a vivid picture of the mercy and grace of our Lord. And again, you see this scattered throughout the Bible. Peter and John heard it a lot from Jesus. Let me just give you a couple of examples for when Jesus does exactly this elsewhere. If you have your Bible there, keep it open to Matthew chapter 17, but flip back a couple of chapters to chapter 14 and verse 26, and you will read about Jesus walking on the water towards the disciples when they become frightened, thinking that he was a ghost. Listen to just two verses. This is Matthew chapter 14 and verses 26 through 27. "When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" There it is. The disciples, including Peter and John, are again fearful, but listen to the words of Jesus, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then, if you stay in Matthew, but turn in your Bible the other direction, to Matthew chapter 28, it's now the time following Jesus' death and resurrection from the dead when Jesus appears to his female followers. These are the women who were so faithful to Christ. I'll read verses 9 and 10. Listen to how similar this is to Matthew 17. I'm reading now at the end of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and verses 9 through 10. "And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.'" You heard what Jesus said to these fearful women, "Do not be afraid." These are common words of Jesus to his followers. Jesus does not tell his enemies and those who rejected him not to be fearful. Anyone who rejects Jesus must be very afraid indeed, afraid of eternal separation from God. But for the follower of Christ, both then and now, we need not be afraid. Our eternal life is secure in him. Christ reassures us. Christ makes us feel secure and calms our fears. Christ gives what to us? He gives us confidence. Confidence is reliance on Christ. And that's what Peter and John have learned at the transfiguration of Jesus. This experience in Matthew 17 was seared into the memories of Peter and John. And it is the first episode we're looking at in their lives together as we learn that God is our confidence. Tomorrow, we will come to the second episode in the ministry of Peter and John that once again demonstrates how, by their reliance on Christ, they received confidence. But as we end today, most of you will remember that earlier this week I read to you the following in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. This is now the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 13. "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." Now, why do the people observe confidence in Peter and John? Well, if you go back beginning in Acts 3 and read chapters 3 and 4, you will read that Peter and John healed a man that could not walk. He was lame from birth. Peter and John spoke with him, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. The man was healed. That's exactly what the text says. And after the healing, Acts chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10 says, All the people saw him walking and praising God. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And now, let me pick up at Acts chapter 3 and verse 12. So listen now to Acts 3 and verse 12, and listen specifically to what Peter says. "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us, as if by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." Did you hear that last part that I emphasized? God has glorified his servant Jesus. Glorified. Acts 3, verse 12. Of course, Peter is thinking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and his ascension into heaven. But I suspect what was also on Peter and John's mind, although John is quiet here, was what? The transfiguration, the glorified appearance of Christ in Matthew chapter 17. I believe the encounter Peter and John had with Jesus on the mountain gave them confidence to proclaim this to the people following the healing of the lame man all the way over in Acts chapter 3, after Jesus is no longer with them in human form. The confidence Peter and John exhibit in Acts was confidence they received from Jesus as they relied upon him in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and as they relied on Christ's Spirit following his ascension or Christ's return to heaven. And tomorrow, right here on God Is, we will follow Peter and John and Jesus again. So join me again tomorrow for God Is, as we continue to learn that God is our confidence.